Proverbs chapter 31. And a shudder probably just went up the spine of every single mother. Oh no, Pastor, not that chapter. There's usually not very many dear sisters in the church who claim this to be their favorite chapter in the Bible. Like the one who knows they've fallen short in some area and is about to be confronted by it. When the words Proverbs 31 are heard, the slow, slumping slide begins down in the chair. Now, I know it's hard, and I understand it's hard not to sometimes. But we really shouldn't dread any portion of the Word of God. When we come to a chapter like Proverbs 31, we must realize that this is the ideal. You know, I heard the story of a group of cows who were grazing out in the field when they saw a milk truck pass by as they were grazing on the grass. And they looked up and they began to read and look at the advertisement on the trailer of the truck. And it said, homogenized, pasteurized, sanitized, vitamin enriched. And one of the cows looked at the other and said, it sort of makes you feel inadequate, doesn't it? And as a wife, as a mother, this chapter can certainly make you feel inadequate. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pursue it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to achieve it. Just like we men, we ought to be actively and aggressively seeking to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That scripture is not to be avoided because it is difficult. Rather, that scripture is to be assimilated because it is divine. And ladies, the same is true for Proverbs chapter 31. In this chapter, we find God's ideal picture of a mother and of a wife, what I like to call a motherly masterpiece. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that today that Your Spirit has already been moving before us, Lord, and working in our hearts to honor and to encourage and to strengthen the heart of every wife and mother here today. We thank You for the good testimonies, Lord, and for You blessing those testimonies to our hearts. And thank You for the good mothers, Lord, that those testimonies represent. They all represent the work of a mighty God and a loving Savior in our hearts and in their hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Your Word would help us today, Lord, for those who still have their mothers, Lord, for those whose mothers are in bad health, and for those whose mothers have already gone on, Lord, many different needs and situations represented in every car. But Lord, we know Your Word is just what every heart and situation needs. So would You use it today, Father? We pray for Your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Proverbs 31, God shines His light on seven key areas that when submitted to and applied, it will produce a motherly masterpiece to marvel after. Now, this sermon is the first in a set of eight sermons. It is actually just an overview of the entire series. What we have in front of us this morning is the general outline. And Lord willing, we're going to be getting into the details in the years to come. Now, our text, starting in verse 10, and then continuing right through until the end of the chapter, is an acrostic. These 22 verses make up, in order, the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if it were English, it would be 27 verses, with each verse beginning with the proper sequential letter, starting at A and then working all the way down to Z. So this describes God's A to Z woman. Everything needed to describe a godly wife and a godly mother is found right here in Proverbs chapter 31. Now, ladies, this text is meant to be a tribute and a testament to the thankless task of training toddlers and teenagers and the trying trial of understanding us men. Now, this term we're about to use has certainly had dispersion cast upon it in our day by the radical feminist crowd. But there can be no doubt that this motherly masterpiece that is described here in Proverbs 31, it can be no doubt that it portrays someone who is a homemaker. Let's go ahead and behold who this woman is. Proverbs chapter 31, a motherly masterpiece. Let's go ahead and see it first of all as seen in her price. Look at verse number 10, if you would. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Now, in the estimation of the incorruptible, immortal, infinitely intelligent God of eternity, when a virtuous woman is found, it is of great price. First of all, I want you to notice that she has virtue. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Virtue is the overriding quality. Now, what is virtue? Virtue is moral strength. And the rest of this chapter is spent answering this solitary question, who can find a virtuous woman? I'm telling you, our sinful and fallen society has it all backwards. What's on the inside is superior. What's on the outside is secondary. And we'll get there. You'll see that verse 30 enlarges upon this truth. Now understand, my friend, there's nothing wrong with attractiveness. But, virtue is far better. The real worth of a wife, it is not outward, it is inward. It is the very first stroke applied to the canvas of a motherly masterpiece. I'm telling you, many a man has made the mistake of marrying a dimple, only to find out later that the whole package was nothing more than a dipstick. My dear sister, if your primary concern, if your primary quality is loving Jesus, listen, you are a masterpiece. Not only does she have virtue, but she has value. Look at verse 10 again. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." My friends, we are valuable for one reason, and for one reason only. We're valuable because the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Having said that, there are other traits that can give the believer value. And we find one right here for the woman of God. Now notice, the value of virtue in our text is not compared to a diamond, but the value of virtue is compared to a ruby. Now a diamond catches light and reflects it. But a ruby, it has that inner glow. The value is found in the hidden man of the heart. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 4 speaks of the same principle. 1 Peter 3, 4 says, "The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit," watch this, "which in the sight of God is of great price." Her value is not in her fame. It's not in her figure. It's not in her face or her finances. Her value is found in her virtue. So in Proverbs 31, God shines a light on seven areas that if we submit and apply to, it will produce a motherly masterpiece. Well, we've seen it in her price. Now look at verses 11 and 12, and let's see it in her purpose. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She's honest and loyal. And we'll clearly see this before the message ends. But this woman's first love is Jesus. And because of that, she is able, she is willing to live inside the home, inside the marriage relationship in a way that is well-pleasing to her first love. Now, that's not the norm in most Christian marriages, even good Christian marriages. Look at verse number 11. I want you to see her trustworthiness. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." The next stroke applied to the canvas is when a husband can trust his wife. He doesn't sit around worrying that she's going to run out on him or be running around on him. Why? Because she has virtue. He can also trust her with the bank account. Someone once wrote these words, Brother Hugh, "Theirs was a perfect marriage, except for one feminine flaw. He was fast on the deposit, but she was quicker on the draw." Not only her trustworthiness in verse 11, but her temperament is shown in verse number 12. Look at verse 12. "She will do him her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Her virtue is shown again in her lifetime commitment to her husband. Her heart is set on him. And no one on earth, no one or nothing is more important to her than her husband is. So she will do him good in all ways. And she will do him good always. In the mood, not in the mood, in health and in sickness as well. God is shining a light on seven key areas that can produce a motherly masterpiece. First of all, we've seen it in her price. We've seen it in her purpose. Number three, now let's see it in her performance. In verses 13 through 19, and then in verses 21 through 24. In these verses, the motherly masterpiece, it continues to take shape. As these verses are now going to introduce us to her great works. This woman is not afraid to work. Now, a mother is so many things. She's a chauffeur. She's a cook. She's a maid. She's a referee. She's a philosopher. She's a hostess. A rescue squad. She's a tutor. She's a teacher. And a psychiatrist. I'm telling you, you throw them all together and they spell mother. Now, I'm going to throw this out there to you and I want you to chew on it. As we look at this motherly masterpiece as seen in her performance. And that is this. 13 of the 22 verses that describe the Proverbs 31 woman have to do with her work. First of all, look at verse 13 at her capability. Verse 13 says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." This woman is willingly capable. Now, she's obviously prepared herself to be a good and capable wife as she was growing up and through her teenage years. And therefore, no one has to stand over her. She's working with the light because she is committed to her family and she is committed to her Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And her labor of love is as unto the Lord. As in verse 13, she is seen going to the marketplace for food and supplies. Not only her capability, verse 14, her comparison. Look at it. "She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar." I'm telling you, convenience is not her motivating factor. She's a wise shopper. She gets the best and she gets a bargain. She's a nutritionist. She gets food that's going to help keep the family healthy, not sold over to fast food and to junk food. I heard the story of one of these career women and her husband, Brother Preston, was eating breakfast one morning and he started to complain because he hadn't been getting any hot breakfasts. So she threw him a match and said, "Set your cornflakes on fire." Now understand, that's not the type of woman that's being depicted here. Not only her capability in comparison, verse 15, her celerity. "She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." Now you sort of get the impression reading through this chapter that this Proverbs 31 woman, that she has a to-do list that is made out from the night before. She's up bright and early in the morning, not lying in bed late into the morning. It seems, Brother Wayne, it'd be very hard to accuse this woman of wasting time. Notice, she's up in the morning planning the day out for the maidens. She's got it all down. Now understand that in the times this was written that maidens were not necessarily a luxury. Now we have luxuries today, don't we? Washers and dryers and microwaves and stores and refrigerators. I'm not so sure we'd want to go back and trade places with a woman of that time. But notice also, she's up early, not only preparing things for the maidens, but for her household as well. The day's meals are planned. And she does this day by day, week after week, and year after year. And as the overarching theme of the Proverbs 31 woman is her great love for God, I don't think it's a stretch to imagine that she's also spending time with her Lord in these early morning hours. She is preparing her heart for the hard day's work ahead. Her capability, her comparison, her celerity. Verse 16, her competency. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She just knows how to do a little bit of everything, Sister Phyllis, and she knows how to make it all work. In this verse, look at it. Look what she's doing. She's out making an investment in real estate. Now you say, Pastor Joe, can a woman do that and be a good biblical mother? Well, of course she can. If you had any doubt, then let it be erased because it's recorded right here in the Word of God. But here's the key, so don't miss it. It's obvious that her business investments were not at the expense of the home. Church, that's the truth of this scripture. Her performance, all of her work, none of it is at the expense of the home. They are an extension of the home. And I think the ultimate question for a God-fearing woman to ask herself is this. Is the work I'm doing, does this job, does it complement the home? Or does it compete with the home? Does it create an independent spirit from my husband? Does it cause any contention in the home? Foster any type of controversy with my husband in any way? If so, then those things would be contrary to the spirit of the Word of God, and great caution and great care should always be exercised in such cases. Verse 16 talks about her competency. Verse 17, her calling. Look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She knows her calling is to work. And if work is a necessity, in order to put food on the table, listen, great respect ought to be paid to such a woman. My friend, I'm telling you, some of the strongest folks that I know are women. Grace, my mother-in-law, Keisha's mother. Grace is a woman of great strength. Now, if you haven't heard her story, you ought to take the time to get to do so. A lady of great strength. And listen, strength is not always about bulging biceps. Strength is not always about having large legs or a big burly back or a chiseled chest. Oh, no, no. The strength of a woman to submit to God and maintain a household all while having a ruby's glow. My friend, that's strength. And for single mothers, that task becomes exponentially taller. But I believe verse 17 also gives a hint to the physical. This woman takes care of herself. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, I know most of us take that to mean it doesn't profit at all, but that's not actually what the verse says. This woman, she eats right, and she exercises. She doesn't let herself go. She keeps herself looking good for her husband. I'm telling you, this whole attitude of why chase a streetcar when you've already caught it, that mentality is a selfish one. It is an unwise one. For a healthy marriage relationship, listen, concerning the husband or the wife. Not only her calling, verse 18, her candle. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She knows economics as well. I'm telling you, this lady would not make a good union representative out there negotiating for short hours. She's up all night. She's reading. She's working. She's learning more and more and more. This woman is a self-starter, and she is a scholarly studier. She rises early. She stays up late, not for pleasure, but for her family, her calling, her candle, verse 19, her cleverness. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now remember, there were no clothes in stores to go buy from in that day, and there were some markets, but the average family could not afford to pay the merchant. So the woman had to make the apparel, not only for herself, but for the family as well. This mom is able to work with her hands, and she is able to make things. Aren't you amazed? Friend, I'm just amazed at everything that this woman can do. This is a lady of great industry, and she has some very real skills. What she makes is not junk. When we get to verse 24 in a moment, we're going to see what she makes. She is able also to sell to the merchants. Why? Because it is high quality. What a plentiful performance. What a tremendous talent is found. What a willingly wise worker. We're talking about a motherly masterpiece, and right now we're looking at it as seen in her performance. Now go to verse 21. Look at her calmness. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. She has a calm and a gentle spirit. She doesn't panic when the storms come. Friends, she's well ahead of the curve. She's already prepared the winter clothes for the family. And nothing second rate either. Now, the scarlet and the snow here convey the idea of dressing the family warmly, not sending them out half-dressed. Her calmness, verse 22, her clothing. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Not a barefoot and pregnant washerwoman. No. This is an eloquent lady. Church, she knows what she's doing. She not only takes care of the kids, as we've already seen, Brother Preston, she takes care of herself also. She's fashion conscious. When she steps outside, her attire looks good. This whole notion that a saved woman has to be plain and homely, that notion is not founded upon scriptural teachings. Ladies, listen to me. Don't let your husband get used to. Don't let him become accustomed with you greeting him every day with your hair all done up in clothes hangers. Okay. Don't let him get used to greeting you, you greeting him every day in old t-shirts and slippers and faded house coats and teeth unbrushed. This motherly masterpiece. Well, she finds the time for all of these things scattered throughout Proverbs 31, and yet she still keeps herself looking like a knockout. What an extraordinary woman. Her calmness, her clothing. Verse 23, her community. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, this lady is a helpmeet to her husband, a completer of him. Now, you say, preacher, I got to stop you right now. Preacher, I got to be honest. You're making it sound an awful lot like the woman's purpose is to her husband. Now you got it. Pastor, how could you say that? Now hold on, calm down, and listen to me. Just like the man's purpose is to his wife, both serving the Lord Jesus Christ together, each esteeming the other better than themselves. No selfish spirit is detected. My friend, that's God's design in marriage. Notice the verse says that the husband is known in the gates, the place of commerce, like the courthouse squares in the old towns. Her husband, what this is conveying, is a well-known citizen. And don't miss it, she is a big reason for it. He has no worries at the home, thus freeing him to go out and thrive in the marketplace with his God-given ability. And how can he not thrive with a woman like this behind him? No wonder he's so successful. Ladies, make no mistake. You contribute greatly to your husband's success or to his failure. Man, you listen now. If you're successful, then learn to honor your wife, because you simply could not be so without her. And I understand that more and more with each passing year of my life. I only wish I could go back and tell the 25-year-old Joe Perini about these lessons that I've learned over the years. Honor your wife. Listen, my friends, you are what you are, my dear brother, because of what she is. That's exactly the context of this chapter, where the Holy Spirit is reaching down and He is extolling the woman. She is a great encouragement to her husband. She's not busy tearing him down all the time. My dear sister, understand, when it comes to his daily work, you literally have the capability to stoke your husband up for the fight or to shake your husband down for a fall. It would be impossible, simply impossible, for me to do what I do, working a full-time job, pastoring this church, being there for my family at all times. It would be impossible for me to do that without the motherly masterpiece behind me. I simply could not do it. Now, friend Keisha, she went to college. She has a degree in accounting. But she's chosen to be a homemaker, a teacher, a ministry assistant, a mechanic, a carpenter, a painter, a lawn worker, an errand runner, and whatever else I need her to be so I can continue doing what I do. And for the way my boys have turned out, for the way they've been raised, I wouldn't trade that for 18 years of additional salary as an accountant. Not in a million years. Not ever. Her work has eternal consequence. It will live past the cold, silent grave. My dear Keisha, I love you. God so blessed me, church, with just the wife I needed to be the foundation that I needed so I wouldn't faint and fall. Somebody has said, behind every good man is a good woman and a surprise mother-in-law. A motherly masterpiece. Look at verse 24. We're seeing it in her performance at her commercialization. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Can you believe she's a businesswoman too? Is there anything this lady can't do? She makes things, and the things that she's made, well, she sells. We've already seen that she buys a field and she plants a vineyard, but now we see that she reinvests and she gets more. Church, that's business 101 right here in Proverbs 31. Let it be noted again that all that she does, and I certainly think you have to agree with me, it is a lot, but it's not in competition with her husband, but it's to enhance him. It's to enlarge him. It doesn't take away from the home. It all adds to the home. So in Proverbs 31, God takes a light. He shines it on seven key areas. And if we submit and apply it to our lives, it can produce a motherly masterpiece. We've seen it in her price, in her purpose, in her performance. Now look at verse 20 in her philanthropy. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. She has a heart to help the poor with the money that she's earned. Now, Keisha, she's just able to be a blessing to others by her personality alone. God's just blessed her in that way. But she's also always wanting to help others. She's always watching how she can do so. Now, Brother Wayne, I say this in my shame, but in my immaturity over the years, I've said on occasion, well, honey, what about us? But she just gives things to the neighbors to be a blessing to them. Now, fellas, thank God. Thank God if you got a wife like that. Not a selfish-minded woman taking care of her own only. No, no. She's able to minister to the people around her who are hurting. Now, I remember growing up, our home was a very special home. Our home was an open home. We lived in a neighborhood, and we had a distant cousin who lived down the street on Neff Street. We lived right here on Highland Avenue, and he lived down on Neff Street, down the street. And to put it mildly, Tommy grew up in a very rough home environment. He was the classic definition of a latchkey kid. But Tommy was basically our brother. And from sunup to sundown, he was part of the home, literally spending night in our home 4 to 5 nights per month. A church, can I tell you, it takes a very special mother to do that, to house another kid and raise another kid, to cook his meals and wash his dishes. And then BC came along in our young teenage years. A rough kid moves in across the street, of course. We befriended him because my brother Billy and I, we were always looking for someone new to play ball with. But he was drawn to our home. BC was drawn to our loving, open home. There was just something different about our home. And BC became the fourth son. It was me, my brother, Tommy, and BC. When BC moved in and we befriended him and he started coming over and got to know us. I mean, he was over the house so much that it frustrated Mom. And so me and Billy, we sneak him in through the bedroom window. Sorry about that, Mom, but you already know. You caught us red-handed at it. And then there was Josh and Shane and Trey and Jason and Gerald. Every kid in the neighborhood, I'm not exaggerating, they were all drawn to our home. And it was all because there was a very special mother in the home. A motherly masterpiece clearly seen in her philanthropy. It made for a special childhood with unforgettable memories. Thank you, Mom. I love you. Not only seen in her philanthropy. Look at verses 26 and 27 at this motherly masterpiece as seen in her prudence. This wife is also a very capable teacher of the wisdom of God. For the children, yes, but it seems apparent also she's able to converse with the husband as well. Look at the first part of verse 26, the wisdom of her mouth. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, dignity, poise, grace. Not a blabbermouth and a gossiper, but a wise-worded woman of wisdom. Note, her mouth opens in wisdom, not in worldliness. And her wisdom is rooted in her great love for God and her great love for the Word of God. Her mouth is filled with this wisdom because it is flowing out of her heart, which is also full of that same wisdom as she is drawn from abundance, that wisdom out of the Word of God throughout her life. Not only the wisdom of her mouth, the rest of the verse, the wisdom in her mildness. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She has control of her tongue. Not running around yelling and screaming at her kids, whining at the husband. You know why she's able to do that? Because she's already been up in the morning and had her quiet time with God. Let me say this right here. Whenever a man or a woman is lashing out at others, it always tells more about that person than anything else. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. But if in the home, sir, ma'am, young person, you're lashing out and lashing out and lashing out, you are a person that is not at peace with themselves. Else you wouldn't be lashing out. When someone is not at peace with themselves, they're not at peace with God. Because when vertical relationships are right, then horizontal relationships are going to be right. And folks that are not at peace with God are not at peace with God for one reason and one reason only, is that because they have not spent time with God in prayer and they have not spent time in God's book, the Word of God. It's been well said, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. We're looking at this motherly masterpiece as seen in her prudence. We've seen the wisdom of her mouth and the wisdom of her mildness. Look at verse 27, the wisdom of her management. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She's not sitting around all afternoon watching the television and surfing the internet. No, she's looking well after the ways of her household. And as you know, managing a household is an exacting job. And she does her work very faithfully. Not just the physical, not just the material, but the spiritual work as well. She looketh to the ways, she's concerned how her household is living. The wisdom of her management, the end of the verse, the wisdom of her movement. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now we've seen her labor is varied and she has very many skills. As you know from the left, the modern radical feminists have looked down upon the quote-unquote lowly housewife. My friend, if you've not seen anything else, I hope you see today, that's a very foolish perspective. A virtuous and successful housewife and mother is a woman of great ability and initiative, and her talents certainly are not wasted inside of the home. A motherly masterpiece as seen in her prudence. Look at verse 25 and 30. Let's see it in her piety. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That's the strength of faithful believers. Her heart is at peace with God, and that gives this woman strength and stability. Now, the clothing here speaks of dignity. When this woman walks into a room, you take notice of her presence. She's a woman of faith. And under stress, she is able to smile at the future because she knows that God is with her, that God is with her family. And no matter what happens on earth, she knows her future is bright. It's going to be with her King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, she can be a blessing to her husband. She can be a blessing to her children. She can be a blessing to others. I heard the story of a very successful businessman making money hand over fist, could have anything he wanted. But then things changed. The environment changed. The economy changed. And the revenues began to fall. And they began to fall. And he had to shut down the business. Ultimately, he had to file for bankruptcy. They had to sell everything they had. He had to move his wife into a little single, small, one-bedroom apartment. And as they were settled in for the first night, he looked, sat on the couch looking across the room at his wife, and he said, "Well, here we are." She looked at him. She got up. She walked across the room and grabbed his hand and said, "No, here we are." The strength of faithful believers. She can smile at the future. Look at verse 30, the shortness of fleeting beauty. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Again, as we said, nothing wrong with good looks and good personality. They all have their place. But know that they do not last forever. The skin is going to sag. It's going to wrinkle. The hair is going to gray. It's going to begin to thin. The body will lose its shape. Yes, it is wonderful if a wife has beauty, if she has charm. That's not a sin. But a woman who fears the Lord, her beauty remains for eternity. Not only the shortness of fleeting beauty, the rest of the verse shows us the superiority of fate's blessing. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The eternal value of virtue. That's the superiority of faith's blessing. A woman of faith, she can be outwardly beautiful, yes. But listen, the secret of a woman of faith is no matter her appearance, she feareth the Lord. My friend, listen to me. You young folks out there, you young adults still looking to get married, I know there are a few out there, my boys for sure. Without the fear of the Lord, a woman's beauty is nothing more than lipstick on a pig. A motherly masterpiece. So God takes Proverbs 31, He shines a light on seven key areas that when submitted to and applied can produce and mold a motherly masterpiece to marvel after. And there is one more area we want to draw your attention to. It's in verses 28, 29, and 31. Let's see this motherly masterpiece as seen in her praise. This virtuous woman is going to be praised in heaven. We know that. She's going to be handsomely rewarded. She's never going to win a Hollywood Oscar. She's never going to be chosen for the world's most desirable woman. Still, God makes sure that her glowing witness is praised in this world. Look at verse 28 at the praise from the sprouts. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her life invokes praise from the children. After all, they witnessed her life all through growing up in the home. And these praises from the children is the greatest thanks. It's God's payment system on earth. As Brother Wayne and Sister Tasha said, if you had a godly mother that's influenced you for right, give her the honor of thanks. My friend, if you've been lax in praising your mother, my dear child, it's time to shape up. Not just on special days, but a lifetime of thankful praise for just as long as God allows you to have your precious mama. Not only is the praise from the sprouts, the praise is from the spouse. Look at verse 28 again. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Sir, if God's given you a good wife, then you need to give her the paycheck of praise. The wages your wife needs is your wonderment and admiration of her. Now, mister, you can sit around rationalizing all you want, but you're never going to be at peace with the Word of God until you do so. Are you in debt this morning, my good sir? Are your bills being paid? They're due daily. And until death, do you part. So do your part. My dear brother, I want to tell you how much you love your wife should never be in question. It should never be in doubt. The due date for that payment is continual, not just once. Tell her. Show her. Let her know how much you thank God for her. And if you're currently delinquent, then let today be the beginning of the process of catching up. My brother, if you've prayed for your wife, if you have loved your wife, if you have built up your wife, a motherly masterpiece will take shape. Hear me. She will be who she is largely based on who you are. The praise, it comes from the sprout, it comes from the spouse, and it comes from the Scriptures. Look at verse 29. God testifies, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. This testimony of Scripture concerning the motherly masterpiece is so natural. Unlike us, children and husbands, unlike us, thankful praise does not come naturally from our selfish, fallen, self-centered nature. But it just flows naturally out of the Word of God. Now, having learned some things here in Proverbs 31, if there's any desire, my dear friend, in you to please God, we should all now know and understand what we need to do. Amen. With God's help, we can. The praise from the sprouts, the praise from the spouse, from the Scriptures, and verse 31, from society. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I'm telling you, raising godly children is the greatest testimony. And even society notices. The works of her hands are children raised in the fear of God. What a godly woman. It is a motherly masterpiece. Now, my friend, Is anyone feeling inadequate? I'm not even a woman and I feel inadequate. Remember, friend, this is the goal. This is the ideal. If we never aim at a goal, we're never going to hit it. Because one thing's for certain, if we aim at nothing, we're bound to hit it. So don't avoid this Scripture, but learn to assimilate this Scripture. A motherly masterpiece. My friend, do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, what a great day to come know the Lord, especially if your mother loved the Lord and loves the Lord. What an answer to her great prayer of her heart, that if you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you don't know Jesus, you can be saved today. Whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. You're a wife, a mother here today. I don't know, maybe somebody in the neighborhood is listening and you're not saved. Know this. You can't be a godly mother without having your sins forgiven and having faith in Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus today. He'll save whosoever will. Let's pray. And before we dismiss, we're going to have one more thing that we want to pass out to our mothers as you leave this morning.